All right, open your Bibles this evening once again to the book of Genesis chapter 19. We want to continue where we left off several weeks ago before we went to the States, dealing with the subject of Lot, who gives to us the picture of a terrible failure. And we have seen how that Lot made some very foolish choices in his life. Lot chose to leave the godly fellowship of Abraham and decided that he was going to go and cast his lot. No pun intended there, but Lot was going to cast his lot with the wicked of Sodom. And we saw how that he chose to go down into the cities of the plain and to dwell there. And you remember we saw in our study together how that God determined that he was going to destroy those cities because of their terrible wickedness, because of their perversion. And so last time we dealt with the subject of the destruction of those cities. We saw how four things in fact that we mentioned about it. We talked about the moment of it. The moment of the destruction, it was at the sun rising, you remember. As the sun was coming up, that's when the judgment fell. And then we talked about the method of it. Brimstone and fire fell from heaven. And we talked about the geological or the archaeological evidence that has been found that the biblical account happened exactly the way it says. And so we saw the method of it. We saw the magnitude of it. When this judgment fell, the cities were destroyed. The plain was destroyed. The inhabitants were all destroyed. And even the vegetation was destroyed. That's why, you remember Lot, when he went to that area, what was it that drew him there? Well-watered, green, lush, beautiful pasture lands. You now go on Google Maps, do a satellite search of the Dead Sea area. No green is there. Vegetation was all burned up. Vegetation was all destroyed. And then we saw the model of it. We saw how that the historical account of God's destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah oftentimes was used to serve as a warning. The Lord used the example of Sodom and Gomorrah to warn wicked societies that sin has an expensive price tag. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah was used to warn nations of the consequences of ignoring God's word. And God used Sodom and Gomorrah to warn cities of the terrible results that come when they rebel against Him. And so the cities of the plain were all destroyed under the judgment of God. Now on that terrible morning, when the judgment fell, on that terrible morning in verses 27 and verse 28 of Genesis chapter 19, we find that Lot, or Abraham rather, Abraham woke up early in the morning. And he went to that place where just the day before he had a meeting with the Lord. Just the day before, Abraham had met with the Lord in this particular place. And there he had bargained with the Lord to spare Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember he started out, you know, at 50? Remember that? And you know, Abraham was a Jew, so he Jewed him down. He started at 50, and then he said, well, how about 40, you know? Well, how about 30? How about 20? How about 10? And that's where he stopped. By the way, have you ever thought about why did he stop at 10? Huh? What?
It's the number of Lot's family.
Yeah, that's the number in Lot's family, exactly. Abraham figured surely Lot would have won his own family. Now, he didn't know Lot very well, did he? But he stopped at 10. That's where he stopped. And so he bargained with the Lord. And by the way, it was because of his burden for Lot. Notice what it says in verse 29. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Lot. What a wonderful fellow he was. Now, that's not what it says, is it? God remembered Abraham. God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. You know, when we pray for people, we never know just what kind of impact that may have. Just a thought we may want to consider. That when we pray for people, and we ask God to have mercy on them, and we ask God to help them, you never know. You never know. God may deliver them because of your prayer. Just a thought. Just a thought. And so from his dwelling place in Hebron, some 4,000 feet above the plain, Abraham, according to verse number 28, Abraham was able to see all the land of the plain. In other words, from his elevated position, he was able to see from the south end of the Dead Sea all the way up to the north end. He could see the horizon, and there he could see the judgment of God as it fell on those places. From that vantage point, he could see the smoke as things were just being burned up and destroyed by the fire and the brimstone that fell. But there was one tragedy that Lot did not see. There was one tragedy that Lot did not see. And that's the tragedy that we're going to talk about in the text this evening. In verse number 26, notice it with me, very short, very simple, very concise statement. It says this, "But his wife," talking about Lot, "but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." You say, "Now, Pastor, do you really think that happened?" Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. I do. I believe it says exactly what it means. And I believe it has been included in the biblical record because there are some great lessons that we can learn from this story. There's some great lessons that we can learn here. That's why some 1800 years later, the Lord Jesus himself said in Luke 17:32, he said, "Remember Lot's wife. Don't you forget her. You remember her." Because there's some lessons that we can learn from her failure. Just as we're learning lessons from Lot's failure, we learn lessons from the failure of his wife. Now, to our natural way of thinking, there seems little to remember about her because very little is said about her in the Scriptures. In fact, as you search through the Scriptures, you'll find that Lot's wife in all of the Bible is only mentioned four times. She's only mentioned four times in all of the Bible. Outside of the Scriptures, we are told by certain Jewish writers a couple of things that may or may not be so. For example, the Jewish writers tell her that her name was Adith or Idith, one or the other. They also tell us that she was a local. She was actually from the city of Sodom. And that Lot married her when he moved to Sodom. Again, whether those are things are true or not, I don't know. May or may not be. But what I do know is that what the Bible says is absolutely accurate. And what the Bible says is something that we can depend on. And even though it tells us very little, there are some important lessons that we can learn. So I want us to notice just a couple of things. And let's begin by noticing, number one, the disobedience of Lot's wife. The disobedience of Lot's wife. Now you'll remember back in verse number 17, the angels, when they came and gave the warning to Lot and to his family of the judgment that was about to come, the angels were very specific in the instructions that they gave. They were very clear. They were very specific. Notice it in verse 17. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. The word consumed there simply means to be destroyed or to cause to perish. In other words, don't stay here. Flee from this place. Don't even look back, because if you do, you're going to die. That was the clear instruction that was given. But as they were fleeing from Sodom, the Bible says, in verse number 26, his wife, in spite of what the angels had said, his wife looked back from behind him. I want you to notice a couple of points here with me. Number one, or letter A, I want you to notice the revelation of her looking. The revelation of her looking. Even though it may seem like a small thing that she did. I mean, you wouldn't rank looking with murder, you know. You wouldn't rank looking with committing fraud or something like that. I mean, she just looked. And it seems like a very small thing, looking back toward the city of Sodom. Yet the thing is that by her looking, there was a revelation that was given concerning her character. There was a revelation that was given concerning her character. Notice four things that we can learn here about the character of Mrs. Lot. First of all, we see her desire. Her desire. The main reason Lot's wife looked back toward Sodom, the main reason she turned and looked back, was because the desires of her heart were where? They were in Sodom. The desires of her heart were still in Sodom. Her body was out of Sodom, but her affections were still in the city. They were still in the city. Now we should learn and we should remember from Lot's wife that we must be very careful about where we set our affections. We need to be very careful about where our love is and where our focus is. Consider the words of the Apostle Paul over in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and verse number 2. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "If ye then be risen with Christ." That is, if you've been raised up, you've been born again, you've been lifted up out of spiritual death and made to be spiritually alive. If you are risen with Christ, here's his advice, here's his counsel. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections. Verse number 2. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. So Paul's advice to all believers, when it comes to setting your affection, choosing what you're going to love and what you're going to hate, what is going to be your top priority in life and what is going to be a lower priority, when it comes to that, you need to keep your focus above. Need to keep your focus above. And the reason why that is so important becomes very clear when we remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:21? Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. The principle here is simply that we must not allow the desires of our heart to become so attached to the things of the world that we neglect the importance of obeying God with all of our heart. Do you get all that? Don't let the desires of your heart become so entangled in the things of the world that you cannot obey God completely in all things. Her desires. Number two, her defiance. Her defiance. Even though the command to not look backward toward Sodom was very clear, even though the command was very clear, Lot's wife showed her character when she stubbornly rebelled against the Lord God. You see, her looking was a blatant defiance of deity. Her looking was a blatant defiance of deity. You see, it's not just the big sins that reveal a defiant spirit against God. It's not just the big sins. Truth of the matter is, every act of disobedience, whether it's disobedience about tithing or disobedience about church attendance or disobedience about putting the Lord first in your life and walking according to His will, whatever it is, whatever it is, every act of disobedience is an act of defiance against God. It's an act of defiance. Charles Spurgeon was right when he made this statement. He said, "Rebellion is as much seen in the breach of what appears to be a little command as in the violation of a great precept." In other words, disobedience, whether it's in a big thing or a small thing, disobedience is disobedience. And disobedience is sin. And sin is a defiance against the Lord God who gave the command. Her defiance. Number three. Another thing about her character that we notice, and that's this. Her disbelief. Her disbelief. If you notice the command, back in verse number 17, if you notice the command, there were actually two things in that command that was given by the angelic messengers. There were actually two parts of the command. First of all, they were told, don't look backward. Don't look backward. And the second part of the command was, flee from the plain. In other words, when you come out of Sodom, don't turn around and look over your shoulder. Just keep moving and don't stay in the plain. You keep going till you come to the place where I've told you to go. That was the command that was given. And if they failed in either point, according to the message the angels gave, if they failed in either point, they would perish. They would be consumed. So if Lot's wife had have believed the Word of God. Now stop and think about it. If Lot's wife had have really believed the Word of God, which was delivered by the angelic messengers, do you think she would have looked back if she really believed it? But when she looked back, it revealed she really didn't believe what she had been told. She really didn't believe what she had been told. So many times we read the Bible and we see where God says we're to do this and we're to do this and we're to do this, and we say, you know what, I don't want to do that. And yet, even though the Bible says if you don't do this, there's consequences. Sin has consequences. And if you don't obey, then this, you know, the consequences are not going to be good. And we say, well, you know, I really don't want to do that. But, you know, for me, I think the case will be different. What we're saying is, I don't really believe what God says. I don't really believe it's going to be as bad as what everybody tries to make it out to be. By her disobedience, we see her disbelief. There's a fourth thing that we see, and that's this. I don't even know if this is a word or not. I made it up. D- disappreciation. Is that a word? Okay, just write appreciation and then put D-I-S in front of it, okay? Disappreciation. I wanted it to be all D's because I knew Pastor Moore would be impressed.
That's what I do.
That's what he does. Okay, all right. See, I learned from the best. But here's the point I want you to get. Disappreciation. You see, disobedience to God always involves an attitude of ingratitude. That's what I want you to understand. Disobedience to God always involves an attitude of ingratitude. And that attitude is very evident in the disobedience of Lot's wife. You see, God in His mercy, God in His mercy had done some wonderful things for Mrs. Lot. You stop and think about it. God in His mercy had sent two of His angels to warn her and her family of the coming judgment and the coming destruction. I mean, think about that. Two of God's angels came to visit her house, sat at her table, ate food that she prepared. That's pretty awesome. That's a pretty awesome thing. You ever had an angel come to your house? Now, you don't know if you do it or not. You know, Bible says angels come unawares, but she knew these were supernatural fellows. Because you see, not only did she have these men come and visit her house, but God in His mercy had commanded one of those angels to literally take her by the hand and escort her out of the place of danger. And not only that, God in His mercy had given clear instructions about where they were to go in order to escape the terrible fires that were to fall. God in His mercy had done all of that for her. And therefore, her heart should have been filled with appreciation, don't you think? I mean, doesn't it just make sense that she should have been thankful for all that God had done so that she and her family could be spared from the terrible judgment that was about to fall? I mean, it would seem that her heart would be filled with appreciation, and that her appreciation would be revealed in the fact that she would have a desire to obey God and to do exactly what it was that He was commanding her to do. But instead of that, Lot's wife did not show one bit of appreciation for what God had done. And I'm afraid that far too many times we act the very same way. God does so much for us, and yet we are not willing to obey Him. God has done so much for us, and yet we are so quick to ignore Him and have it our way. Do what we want to do. You say, mark it down. As one writer said, disobedience is indeed a demonstration of ungratefulness, shameful ungratefulness. Second thing I want us to notice here concerning Lot's wife, not only the revelation of her looking, but I want you to notice the location of her looking. The location of it. Verse 26, the Bible says, his wife looked back from behind him. Now, we've noted several times over the weeks of our study how that Lot was guilty of dragging his feet. God said, I want you to do this, and you need to do this. And Lot was sort of just, well, you know, no. And it was like pulling teeth, trying to get Lot to move. And yet here we find that Lot's wife was moving even slower than her husband. Lot's moving on down the path, but now Lot's wife is behind him. She's tagging along. And that's a most dangerous position. Because since she was lagging behind her husband and she was lagging behind her daughters, she somehow convinced herself that she could sneak a peek and nobody would know. She could look. Lot's up there. Her daughters are up there. She's behind. I can take a look. Nobody will ever know. Have you ever been tempted to sin and that thought came to your mind? Nobody will know. Oh yeah, I can do that. Nobody will ever find out. Yeah, pastor's not around. Okay, it's okay. Yeah, good. By the way, you need to be careful. I went down and got a bag of coffee just a little while ago before the service and coming back and, you know, I just walking down the sidewalk and all of a sudden this little boy says, "Hey, you're from the church down there." Oh my goodness, I'm glad I was behaving myself. Yeah, we think nobody's going to know, but you know what? That's a lie, isn't it? That's a lie. Because you see, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, listen to it very carefully, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place." Think about that. No matter where you are, no matter how dark the night may be, no matter how secretive the environment may be, the eyes of God are there. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." There's nothing hidden from the eyes of God. Don't you ever let Satan deceive you into thinking that you can sin against God and nobody's going to know it. God knows. God knows. And even though Mrs. Lot successfully hid her sin, she hid her sin from her husband. He didn't see her look back. And she hid her sin from her daughters. They didn't see her look back. But God saw it. God saw it. That's why the Apostle Paul, he gave us that great principle in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 14. He said, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." In other words, instead of lagging behind, Mrs. Lot, she should have been at the front of the line. That way she would have made no provision for failure. She would have made no provision for sin. She should have been out in front. Never, never allow yourself to get into a position, whether you're young, whether you're old, makes no difference. Never allow yourself to get into a position where it is easy to sin. Don't go there. If it's easy to sin there, then you stay away from there. Don't go there. Don't go. Make no provision. Don't make it easy to do wrong. Make it hard to do wrong. Make it hard to do wrong. Number two. My goodness. Is that clock fast, I hope? Okay, good. I got at least another 30 minutes. The doom of Lot's wife. The doom of Lot's wife. Lot's wife did not sin with impunity. What that means is, it simply means there were consequences. There were consequences. Sin always has consequences. And the consequences that sin brings are never pleasant. And they're never good. As soon as she looked back in disobedience to God's command, the Bible says in verse 26, she became a pillar of salt. Again, notice two things very quickly. First of all, the measure of her doom. The measure of it. Number one, it was final. This was not a chastisement designed to bring her to repentance. Rather, it was a final stroke of judgment that would never be reversed. In other words, God said, "You do this, you're going to die." That's the consequence. She did it. She died. It's final. Number two, It was justified. Now, the reason I mention that is because there are many who would say that God was unfair. God was too harsh. God was unjust to send such a terrible judgment on such a small little sin. It's just not right, not fair. Let me ask you a question. Suppose you're driving down the road on a late at night and it's stormy, and you're coming down the ECP heading from Changi Airport going toward town, and you come to Benjamin Shears Bridge. And you're, as you're heading in that direction, all of a sudden you see a fella on the side of the road waving his arms and yelling, trying to get you to stop. And you just kind of catch a word, "Stop, the bridge is out." But you ignore it. You ignore the warning. And you go blowing by him, honking the horn, and sorry people out here, don't know that's dangerous. And so you go on up and you start up Benjamin Shears Bridge, and then and you die. Whose fault is that? Is that the guy's? Is it the guy who tried to warn you? Is it his fault that you died? Is it his fault that he gave you warning? No, of course not. Of course not. God was absolutely justified. He warned them. He did everything he could to help them to escape. They ignored his command. And they paid the price. You say that's harsh. No, that's reality. The way, the Bible says, the way of the transgressor, it's hard. It's hard. But just remember, God never led you to sin. God tried to get you to turn from sin. You ignored him. You went your own way. You pay the price. Don't blame God for that. Don't blame God for that. Lot's wife, her judgment was justified. And by the way, God's judgment will be justified when men die and go to hell. It's justified. Men have made their choices. Notice also the means of her doom. She was turned to a pillar of salt. Now there are some who have argued, and they've tried to give a natural explanation for this. And for example, I'm going to read to you what one writer said, and just so you'll know how stupid people can be. Here's what he said. He said, We are not to suppose that she was actually turned into a pillar of salt, but having been killed by the fiery and sulfurous vapor. Boy, doesn't that sound impressive? Man, sulfurous. You say, what does that mean? I don't know. Fiery and sulfurous vapor with which the air was filled, and afterward she was then encrusted with salt. And she resembled an actual statue of salt. Amen. Such foolish speculation ignores the simple statement of Scripture. Mrs. Lot turned back in disobedience to God, and immediately God turned her to a pillar of salt. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. And as we consider her tragic story, let me just make a couple of applications, thoughts here that we can learn. Lot's wife perished. And I'm going to give you five things in conclusion. Lot's wife perished even though She was married to a righteous man. She perished. Even though she was married to a righteous man. You see, the fact is, your family relationships will do you no good if you personally refuse to obey God and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. She died. She perished. Even though she was married to a righteous man. Number two, she perished even though she was visited by two of God's angels. She perished even though, number three, she was a witness to a wonderful miracle. Everybody today talking about, oh, I want to see a miracle. I want to see. Listen, you can see miracles all day long, die and go to hell. Mrs. Lot did. She saw the miracle when the angel struck all those perverts that were trying to find the door and they struck them with blindness. You remember that? She saw that miracle. And yet she still perished, even though she had seen a wonderful miracle. Number four, she perished even though she was warned of the judgments that were coming. The warnings that were given were urgent warnings, plain warnings. They were most adequate warnings. And yet she perished because, listen to this, warnings are of no value if they're not obeyed. Number five, Lot's wife perished even though she was making an effort to be saved. In other words, Mrs. Lot was closer to the place of salvation than all the other people in Sodom, right? I mean, she was closer to the place of salvation than the people inside Sodom were, but you know what? She perished just like they did. She perished just like they did. Because you see, a person can be close to salvation and yet still be lost. Be close to salvation and yet still be lost. May God help us to learn from Mrs. Lot and to avoid the things that caused her to die in sin and to die in rebellion against the Lord God. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word, and I pray that you